Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rere is Fundamental podcast, episode 16. Children, behave. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is the Rere is Fundamental podcast, episode 16. I am your host, Ray Morali, also known as Ray Ray. This is recorded on May 21st, 2015, brought to you by RayRay.net. NBA players are on the road all the time. Sometimes after playoff games, players and coaches take their children with them to their press conferences. It's been done forever. Jason Kidd has done it. Tim Duncan did it after the finals. Ron Artest, known as Meta World Peace or the Panda's Friend or whatever you want to call him, brought his entire family after a Game 7 win. Pacers coach Frank Vogel brought his daughters with him. Chris Paul and Derrick Rose brought their children as well. And of course, the latest one to bring his kid was Stephen Curry. Riley Curry, Stephen's daughter, stole the show after Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Riley told her dad to be quiet, yawned in front of the mic, played a little peekaboo. Basically, a little distraction, but it was fun. So why are some reporters that I will not name suddenly complaining about it now? That they can't do their jobs? They can't do their jobs. Of course they can. Sure, there's a bit of a distraction with a kid, but it's not like Stephen Curry is answering questions about calculus or world hunger. He's answering basketball questions. Gosh. It's basketball. He's answering questions that he's probably heard a million times before. Not that they're not good questions, but come on, right? It's a sport. You'll be okay. You can make something up. Make a story out of it. Hell, make Riley the story. It's okay. Let the players and coaches bring their children to the podium. They're hardly ever home for a good 6 to 8 months. Why is that an issue now? Why are you even talking about this? I'm done. Anyway, my guest is an old co-podcaster of mine at the No Look Pass, and he has helped bring something to the sports lexicon, thanks to Twitter. He goes by Snotty Drippin, and he does some writing for Hoops Critic. Also, our favorite storyteller, Adam Jacoby, joins us as he tells me and Snotty a story after we talk about the conference finals. Are you here for some basketball talk? Of course you are! That's why you're listening, right? Scratch. On the line. First off, our very own storyteller, Adam Jacoby, is back. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
And our guest, also on the other line. He used to be one of my co-podcasters, actually, for the old Chronicles of Karate podcast at thenolookpass.com.
Now he's just abandoned me.
He's just one of the experts on basketball Twitter. And he's
also
kind of
a critic, thank you.
And he's kind of made a name of himself for, you know, mentioning one city.
Oh, God.
He's Snotty Drippin. What's up?
How's it going, guys? Also, Hoops Critic, writer who thinks he's extraordinary, but he stinks. That's me. Snotty. Yep.
Yeah, and they also used to do, like, the pro basketball talk as well.
Well, that's we all moved over to Hoops Critic. Same squad.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, so we're going to talk conference finals really quick. And, yeah, that game was just over between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. 99-98. James Harden couldn't get off the final shot in game two in the last seconds. What the hell happened there, guys?
Can I rant for a second real quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
Real quick. Harden was absolutely brilliant. We give Harden a lot of stuff, and some people say rightfully, because his playoff numbers have been a little underwhelming. He scored, you know, they turn to a purely volume scorer usually, and he'll put up a lot of shots. He kind of had a very, let's say it, he stunk against the Miami Heat in the 2012 finals. Mm-hmm. But this whole playoffs, Harden's been outstanding. He really had a lot to do with them beating the Clippers, his aggressiveness, even though he didn't shoot well. Tonight he was just, I mean, this is one of the better statistical playoff performances you'll see. And already, I mean, the last play, what the hell happened? He didn't get a shot off. And now it sucks. Almost like Chris Paul against Houston last round. You know, oh, he's a choker. He played like These guys are elite, man. These guys are top five players in the game. So it just really, the numbers are mind-boggling, man. Go ahead, say the numbers. Go ahead.
38 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists.
21 shots, man. And only 2 turnovers. That was his second turnover of the game. Ugh, yeah. That hurts, man.
Actually, 10 rebounds, I'm sorry. So he was 1 assist short of a triple-double. Really, he wasn't really using the line to get his points. He got 10 free throws, but most of them were at the end of the game.
He was legitimate buckets whenever he wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. He was doing that in game 1 too against Klay Thompson in the third quarter. So, I mean, he's been outstanding in his playoffs.
I think I think Harden is sort of a victim of some pre-existing prejudices, you know, because it's not like Houston is on a ton of national broadcasts. You know, there are a few, but not a lot. And so for a lot of really casual viewers, you know, the ones that listen to ESPN too much, they, you know, their last impression of actually seeing him was, you know, in those finals when he was, you know, mucking it up for the Thunder. And so, you know, there's that existing idea of what James Harden is. And then they see some stat lines where he's like 18 for 21 from the line, and they're like, ah, come on. No, that's not basketball. But like, finally, we get to see the full breadth of his offensive genius on display in games like game 1 and tonight. And it's like, there's a reason why he was a legit MVP candidate. Like, this is it. This is full James Harden. And it's breathtaking to watch.
Mm-hmm. But right now, they're just going to talk about, how he didn't get the last shot off in game 2. And they're going to talk about how he sat in the fourth quarter in game 6 against the Clippers.
You know what? My thing last round was his numbers were brilliant for the first 4 games, but they were down 1-3. His shooting statistics were, you know, nice and pristine, great true shooting percentage, but he's only taking 16 shots a game, and they were down 1-3. And all right, this is breaking news here. You guys, I got a lot more respect for what Kobe Bryant did for his career watching James Harden that series. For the simple fact that those last 3 games when he stopped kind of like trying to set people up and he was kind of – I guess he wasn't being hesitant or passive, but he wasn't – yeah, the numbers looked great, 25 points a game, 65% true shooting percentage, but they were losing. Last couple games, he shot 37% from the floor, put up a lot more shots, and him putting pressure on the defense made the difference. Mm-hmm. So I was a big Kobe. I'm not a Kobe fan. I can't stand the guy. But, you know, all right, shooting percentages some years, we rolled him for it, but guess that's what he does. Your job as a prime scorer is to put shots up, and sometimes you'll have bad nights. It's all right. Mm-hmm. The job is to put pressure on defense, and Harden really did that. And now this series – he's on another level. He's more aggressive, and he's taking his man like I want him to do the last round, the whole round. So, yeah, it makes a difference, man.
Mm-hmm. Another guy that's also being, I guess, hated on throughout these playoffs is Dwight Howard. He's been having a great playoffs this year.
It's ridiculous.
And, yeah, he had I think he had, 19 and 17 in this game. And
on a knee that's nowhere near 100%, mind
right.
you.
Like, there again, the pre-existing prejudice that Howard can't show up during the big games, and yet he's been doing that throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, it's really interesting how high he set a baseline of expectations from fans, and yet the fans don't really acknowledge how high that baseline actually is. Because, 19 and 17 from 90 to 95% of the players, or at the very least 90 to 95% of the centers, obviously, we would be dropping our jaws if Steph Curry had 17 boards. But, the guys who are supposed to be getting that kind of production, 90% of them, we would be freaking out if they were putting up Howard's numbers, to say nothing of the fact that he's a three-time defensive player of the year. But because he doesn't have this really polished offensive skill set and he doesn't have a dream shake or anything like that, we're like, yeah, he's just Dwight Howard. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And, it's not his fault solely that, let's say, the Lakers sucked when he was playing for him. You know, he wasn't anywhere near 100% for any of his career in L.A. But he, you know, once you get this reputation that you're not a totally serious player, it's super hard to shake that. And really, it takes like getting a ring, and probably nothing short of that.
Yeah, because they are in the conference finals, which is impressive for Houston. Nobody really expected them to be here. You know,
this is their first one since since Elijah,
when Barkley lost. When Barkley lost.
Yeah.
God, sorry, Chuck.
So 98, right? I guess
97, I think.
7, 98, yeah. Well.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, late '90s. Yeah, but it's been a while for Houston.
You know what it is? You know what it is with Dwight. People don't like Dwight's personality. They don't like the fact.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, he was what, 17-12 the year in L.A., but the season was terrible because the team was just terrible. Mm-hmm. And he remembers, I don't know, you guys remember Steve Nash and Kobe taking veiled shots at him in the media and stuff? It's
constantly.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And the fact that, you know, he likes to smile and have fun. And so Shaq and the problem with a lot of fans is they listen to, you know, the Skip Baylesses and the Inside the NBA crew. And those guys make it, you know, it's a war, and he needs to average 28-12. And I think they got into his head, too. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So, yeah, the guy's, he's an awesome player on a bad knee. Look what he put up, and still people are calling him soft, and it's hilarious.
He's not an elite center unless he gets 31 points and 20 rebounds. Barbecue chicken. Barbecue chicken.
The really ironic part of it is Dwight Howard, his personality, like, it's not like he's a completely unlikable guy. You know, it's not like he's rude to everybody. He's a little immature, but, you know, so is, you know, everybody else. Like, that's not an athlete. And so, but it's a personality that rubs fellow athletes the wrong way. And so, and that's what leads to, you know, Kobe and Nash sort of, you know, sniping at him whenever they can. And fans, or certainly people like Skip Bayless, take cues off of that, and then fans sort of do too. And so they start getting pissy at athletes, and by athletes I mean Dwight Howard, for acting the exact same way a fan would, like almost the entire time. So it's weird to see that, because if people applied the same standards of expectations to themselves as they did Dwight Howard, they would probably hate themselves.
Well, yeah. and also I think a big thing is that for some reason fans want their players to live and die the way they do with their sports. And they, to them, it's black and white. Either you're Kobe Bryant, ferocious intensity, or you're a clown. And, I mean, Dwight obviously hones his craft. He's never going to be a freaking throwing the ball in the post guy. He's just not that guy. But they hear what people say, and they see him smiling and doing commercials and stuff, and they think, oh, this guy doesn't care. He obviously cares.
Yeah.
So I think the casual fan is just too caught up in, if he's not a warrior, if he's not scowling, if he's not barking at the refs, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
If he didn't care, he wouldn't be out there today. Because that knee has to hurt like hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll even use Andrew Bynum as an example, who supposedly doesn't care. But obviously, he tried really hard to get back from those career-threatening injuries in the past. Right?
Ooh. All right. I'm gonna
go ahead.
I'm going to bounce against you, Kevin, for the fact that I think Bynum cared. Bynum seems to me like a player who, he was 7'1". He was pretty athletic. He didn't seem to like basketball, but because he knew it would make him a lot of money, he wanted to play basketball. I don't feel like Bynum really cared about basketball.
Didn't he say something like exactly to that effect? That he doesn't basketball?
Here's the thing, though. He doesn't like basketball, sure, but I think he cared enough to come back from injury so many times.
Like, well, think about it. He came back and got that paycheck. Because, don't you remember that they said there was a Cleveland practice when all he did was shoot threes? After once the paycheck was signed. Well,
by that point, it was just like done. But I'm talking about his Laker career, where he was injured in 08, 09, 2010. Like, he only had super healthy year.
Yeah, because Kobe would have kicked his ass otherwise.
That's true, too.
Does he get his check? No, he doesn't get his full check. So, I mean, it behooves him to come back and make his money. So, It's a little different, I think. But even so, I mean, Bynum, when he did play and was healthy, he was professional. He played hard.
I think he cared enough. I think he cared enough, but that's just me. So let's talk about the Warriors. We really haven't talked about them yet, and they're up 2-0, and Curry's just, like, putting up 3-pointers. I guess it's nobody's business. 33.6 assists in game two. Are we just I don't know. Are we just used to this now at this point? I mean, Curry's just, like, doing his job pretty much silently.
Yeah, it's – I mean, I think it speaks to how much we expect the Warriors to win this series. So we're just like, oh, okay, yep, now it's 2-0. I mean, it's not like the game wasn't interesting or thrilling or exciting or anything like that. And, well, you know, it really could have been 1-1. It really, really could have
been. It could have been 0-2 Rockets.
Yeah, totally. Basically. But you know, the Warriors have been the best team in the league pretty much all year. And when you spend this many months just assuming not only that they were going to get the one seed, but, you know, in the West, you know, which is clearly the better conference of the two, and then they just ran away with it. You sort of take, you know, the fact that they're going deep in the playoffs for granted. I don't think that you'll be able to do that come the finals, but I feel like anything short of making the NBA finals would be a grave disappointment for the Warriors, especially if you looked at you know, where they were after the first round when the Spurs went out, and you're like, well, then that's it. That's there went the last best shot to knock the Dubs off.
Snotty, do you think that Rockets had a chance to, I guess, upset the Warriors? Is that even the right term?
I think that I saw a lot of, you know, Houston Warriors in four. I saw a lot of, oh, how they're going to win a game. I didn't believe in that. I thought they would at least – this seemed like a trap game. It seemed like the trap series because everything seemed to be in Golden State's favor. And, you know, the Rockets have this hodgepodge kind of mismatched lineup. Josh Howard is a knucklehead, and Dwight, you know, has been questioned, and James Harden, oh, the playoff choker. It seemed like the ultimate setup for a storybook ending. But Golden State's the favorite by the series, and the margin for error is just so thin. I tweeted this earlier. It's so thin for the Rockets. They can't have Josh Smith shooting 3-for-15 while Harden had like 6 shots. They can't have. They just can't. The margin. They have to play almost perfect basketball. They're not playing perfect basketball. So they're making it competitive. And down the end, when execution matters, Golden State gets the plays done, and the Rockets don't. We saw the last play. They don't get the play done.
Every time we think the Rockets are done, they seem to come back. Like they were down 3-1 against the Clippers, and the Clippers just. I don't know what happened. Adam, we should go over this really quick because last time we did this podcast. We were talking about Austin Rivers sucking.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, and
he did suck in Game 7.
Yeah, he did.
Or didn't read too much. Yeah,
I'm a little disappointed because he had been making such a great habit out of making us wrong.
Yes,
and so I thought that this was going to be his redemption. I'm like, well, he can't possibly win Game 7, when in actuality he couldn't have possibly won Game 7. I'm still going to assume that he's going to do the opposite of whatever we say. So
okay. So what are you saying?
I'm saying there's no way on earth that Austin Rivers – I was about to say Austin Powers again – that Austin Rivers can grow 7 inches – and become one of the most dominant post presences in the NBA. There's no way that could happen. Absolutely not.
I'm gonna take a little blame for that Austin Rivers thing because I even know I listened to your last podcast because after the first few games when he was having like 16 points a game, people were like, "Oh, is he a legit?" I'm like, "Oh, hey, the numbers say he's legit." You know, this playoffs, and then he proceeded to average, you know, 5 points and shoot 26% the last 3 games. So my bad.
So what happened to the Clippers? Like, after when they had that double-digit point lead in Game 6, they just melted down.
I've never seen that in an NBA game in that situation before. Like, the closest thing that I can think of is the Red Sox in 86. Like, that's it. That was awful.
Wow. You know what happened?
It was the Mountain versus the Viper all over again, is what it was.
Wait, you know what's funny? There's two things. It's pretty. We know Chris Paul is one of the top five players in the game right now.
Right.
All right. So, but it's giving people ammo because the more he played, look at his numbers. The more he played, they started losing. Mm-hmm. He didn't play the first game. Clippers won. Barely played. Didn't play the second game. They lost. Close game. He barely played the third game. Clippers won. Played a little more the fourth game. Clippers won. The next three games, he played big minutes, and they got smacked.
Yeah, but, that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem.
Isn't that weird? Let's be real. I'm not. Hey, everyone listening, I'm not blaming Chris Paul, but that sucks. But the other thing is, I think we've been saying all season, I think the lack of bench kind of finally caught up to him. Because, yes, Austin Rivers played well, and Jamal Crawford played some minutes. But for the most part, Blake and DeAndre and Chris Paul had to play heavy minutes all year, and then playoffs been playing heavy minutes. I think Houston's depth has kind of warmed down, and you know Josh Smith was out of his mind, which was he was a real killer in that series. So, man. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we definitely wouldn't be saying this if the Clippers held on in Game 6. They had a double-digit point lead in the fourth quarter.
You know who else was a killer in that series? Mm-hmm. Jamal Who's Crawford. Mm-hmm. He didn't – it's just he killed the wrong team.
Yes. Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horrible.
But, like,
I mean,
they had to give him a ton of minutes because they didn't have any other options. Their bench is that thin.
You know who's the killer then? Doc Rivers is the killer. He didn't there do his go. Job building that bench.
It's true.
Yeah, because he's also the general manager. And it's got to be tough, you know, wearing both hats, general manager and coach. I mean, jeez.
We'll be right back with more Snotty Drippin and Story Time with Adam Jacoby.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com, and you're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
This is James Harden. This song's for you, girl. I know you want to see this chest.
I know that you want me, because I look the best. I wear my shirt open, so you see my chest. I know that you want me, because I look the best. Let's go out for seafood, we'll have a trifest. Girl, I noticed you noticing me, so I came over so you could see me. I worked so hard and to be with you, I shared my heart and soul with only you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I cannot wait for James Harden's post-NBA career when he becomes the best R&B singer of all time. Here's the rest of the interview with Snotty Drippin and Adam Jacoby.
So let's talk about the East, where, oh God, like Cleveland, Atlanta, Cleveland won game 197-89, but the real question mark right now is Damari Carroll, who leads the Hawks in scoring in the playoffs, and we thought he was going to be out the rest of the playoffs with that that knee injury, but yet he's questionable for game 2, which is actually really good news considering how much pain he was in when he hurt that knee. So without Carroll, though, are the Hawks pretty much like it's an automatic loss now at this point?
Yeah, if they don't have him, then there really aren't a whole lot of options in terms of D'ing up LeBron with any sort of success coming to you. I mean, like they can throw Millsap at him, but I mean, you saw how well that worked. They missed Thabo in the worst way. I got to tell you though, when Carroll went down, I wasn't really that concerned because usually guys who really, really blow out their knee, they don't move. And Carroll was doing the worm all the way to the locker room. but I mean, like that's, I bet it felt scary. I bet it felt weird and different. And I bet he had reason to believe that his knee, you know, that something happened to it. But, no, I mean, that was just one of those weird things that happens. And it hurts for a little bit, but then you're all right. So, and, you know, again, you know that when a catastrophe happens to your knee, and you don't and you're so scared about moving it even 1 millimeter that you don't move the rest of your body. So that didn't happen to him. And I'm glad, I'm happy, because if the Hawks didn't have Carroll the rest of the way, they'd be done. At least now we have a series in front of us still.
Mm-hmm. Snotty, did you give the Hawks a chance? Because everyone seems to be saying Cleveland's going to win the series.
I picked Hawks in six. Mm-hmm. I think, like Adam said, man, Thabo being out is going to be the crushing blow if they lose this series, because you just need bodies to throw at LeBron. DeMario can do a good job, but once, like you said, if he's limited, it's going to be ugly, because they have no one who can guard him, no one who can stand in front of him. I mean, Bazemore's too small. Mm-hmm. Kyle's too slow.
Mike Scott's their only other wing left, and he hasn't played.
Let's hope he can get his offense going, because otherwise he's unplayable. So
yeah,
it sucks, because I keep saying so much winning championship is so much luck, and mm-hmm. First round they blew Celtics. They blew Celtics out. Second round, Powell's the only one. He's one of those unguardable players for them, because no one on the team can guard him with Love out. And he got hurt, and so now DeMar Carroll, the only guy who can give LeBron any trouble at all, is might be limited. So that's the kind of luck you need to win a championship. Mm-hmm. So
I thought the Cavs. I mean, Cavs. They obviously lost Kevin Love too, so they're playing with injuries as well.
Speaking of luck, J.R. Smith, who is not known to be a great playoff performer, is now playing like freaking, like he got the juice from Michael Jordan. I don't know what's happening right now.
8 3-pointers in game one, 28 points.
Can we?
Yeah.
Do we have confirmation that he's been to bed yet since that game? Because I feel like that's a 50-50 sort of thing right now.
He is in Atlanta, man.
See?
He is in Atlanta.
Man.
Yeah. I thought he had the greatest days off between game one and two. So who knows what he's doing right now. Shoot. Warriors and Cavs finals for you guys?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, Atlanta's got to play a better brand of basketball than we've seen. I mean, basically from them in the entire playoffs, I hate to say it. But they haven't looked like – I mean, Cleveland's had some yawners too. And, JR's had to bail them out multiple times. But –
that's hilarious.
Yeah, but like Cleveland's had some bad stretches too, but Cleveland still has LeBron, and he's the best player in the world. No offense to Steph Curry, but LeBron is the best player in the world. He's the best player since MJ. And he can take over games whenever he wants, and he's starting to get into that, I'm going to win this series, I'm going to win this finals, and nobody's going to stop me sort of mode. And I don't know how anybody stops that. Maybe Draymond Green does in the finals, but like if Dre can't, I don't know who can.
Hey,
sometimes that's all it takes. We can make all this analysis all we want, but sometimes it's just that a super win you a series. Like, back then we would analyze Thunder's games. It's like, oh, well, they have Westbrook and Durant, so they're going to win,
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, having the best flat-out player in the series makes a difference.
So, Snotty, before we move on to Adam's story, I'd like to ask you this. Do you enjoy being somewhat known for this little Temecula antics that went on a few months ago? Do you kind of enjoy that?
No, sir, I do not. It was annoying like 2 hours in, and so it's just more annoying now. But I mean, it's the sheer idiocy of the whole situation is what's so amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, let him rip. Let's hear him. I'm on the stand here. Let the questions rip.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's just like, do people seek you out just to, I don't know, give you trouble or something? Like,
they
I see this a lot on Twitter.
They do. It's funny because I could say something totally rational, and then they'll say to argue, and I'm like, all right, well, I don't agree. Like, oh, look at you getting pissed off. I'm like, what? No. What?
And then they challenge you to fight.
The conversation.
Yeah.
I know.
Calm down. Like, I just said that what you said was incorrect. What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. So, and then they challenge you to fight.
Yeah, that whole
death threats.
that whole thing was just, yeah, I mean, if it's funny because, I mean, all, you know, you can go back and probably look at my timeline and find it, but, you know, it's funny because it turned around when I guess that guy, he went on some Huffington Post live show, you know, some web show, I guess, web, and he was saying, he was standing up for himself and he's stopping online bullying, but, you know, I'm not going to say how it really, you know, what he was saying when it started, but yeah, it was definitely not the way it went at all. So I was going to say people can just be anything they want online and mm-hmm. there will be other people online who will eat it up. You know, I think he probably got a lot of followers from that nonsense.
It became an ESPN punchline. Steve Nash referenced it. It's like, this is weird, right?
It is weird. And it's weird. I mean, I was on my local news. I'm down in Yuma doing a Skype interview with my local news in San Diego. You know?
Jesus. Okay. What was the weirdest thing you got out of it? Like, well, I mean, I mentioned Steve Nash referencing it, but what was the weirdest thing you got out of it?
I mean, I didn't really get anything out of it. I got like, I don't know, I got a few thousand followers on Twitter. That's about it.
What was the most unlikeliest person that referenced it?
I don't know if you guys, there's a radio personality from New York, Old Man Ebro. He asked to have me on. I think, yeah, I saw it on ESPN. I saw it on SportsCenter when, my man, that was, Amin
Hassan. Yeah, I know he referenced it too.
Yeah, that kind of was mind blowing, you know. So,
and I know Bomani's referenced it several times too.
Which, yeah. So, it's the fact that it's made it into the sports lexicon now, where I've seen other people talking back and forth on Twitter, and they're having a little disagreement. One guy will just go to Temecula, you know. So mm-hmm. it's funny, but
yeah, but you're not really proud of it, are you?
I mean, I didn't do anything. Nothing really proud of. It's funny, but go look at that. If I'm not gonna even say his, I'm not gonna give him any more pub. But look at his timeline any time of day, and he's a real moron. He's just an ignorant, homophobic, freaking misogynistic kind of weirdo. So.
Oh, finally, but one of those people on Twitter. Thank God.
Are you calling me surprised? Right. So.
I'm just saying, like, if someone mentions Temecula, it's like, yeah, that was from me. Do you like even? Go like that. It's like, yeah, it's for me.
No, I'm like, oh, I'm like, still, guys. No, yeah, there's no pride at all into it because I mean, it's to me, like I said, this is my thing. I'm an adult, right? And mm-hmm. look, I guess I'm not one of those people. I'm not really a pacifist. There are times in the world if I'm out and about and I see something going
stand
wrong.
Stand up for yourself, right?
You stand up for yourself. Or stand up for others who can't stand up for themselves. That's cool. If someone really has a problem with me and they come, you're not gonna sit and just, you know, you're not gonna whoop me. But yeah, to schedule a fight 45 minutes from his house, that's weird.
Uh-huh.
So.
Wow. Well, that's a story from Snotty. Now we transition to...
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I wanna do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
A story from Adam Jacoby.
Oh boy,
Adam, you ready to tell us a story?
Yeah, I'm happy to have an audience that's 200% larger, or I guess 100%, 200% of what it usually is. I wanted to tell you guys about a recent trip I made to Fort Knox. You know, and it's a real fort. And it's also a little bit of a tourist destination. Like you can go and sort of like, they don't let you touch the money, obviously. But there are certain places where you can tour and everything. And so like I was with some people and we got to tour and we got to talk and you know, there's a spokesperson, this and that. And I knew somebody, like I can't go into details obviously because it's very lightly classified. But I knew somebody who could, you know, who knew somebody who knew somebody, basically. And so I got to talk to one of the guards. Because, like, you know, like I said, it's a real fort. You know, it was in the U.S. Army. And so they, and since what's the official title? The United States Bullion Depository is the official title. Since that's there and it's this big, like, security thing, I got to, like they, even though it's a Treasury Department thing, I got to talk to one of the actual, like, Army soldiers that guards the place. And I'm talking, like, he's carrying around an automatic weapon, this and that. And they basically, for, you know, every single minute, every single second need to be,
you know, worried about something going down, even though it's in the middle of freaking Kentucky. Like, there's a long way to go between enemy territory and Kentucky. But, you know, they still, you know, they got it. But anyway, so like I'm chatting with them and they're nice guys mostly. They have to be on edge, but they're just guys just like everybody else. And so I get to thinking and I'm like, all right, you're the ones with the guns, right? And that building has all the stacks. So like, what's keeping you from like turning those guns around and getting a little something of your own, you know, because there's no line of defense between you and all that wealth. And mm-hmm. And so the guy said something like really profound to me. Like, one, he was like, logistically, like, I can't do that because they know who I am. They know where to find me. But two, like, the principle of the matter, he's not going to do it because, you know, he's serving the United States. He's protecting something that is, you know, inherently valuable to the country. It's one of our, I don't know if you call it a resource, but it's certainly one of the few concrete representations of our wealth, and it's of great security. According to Wikipedia, they haven't even audited how much it's worth since the 1930s. That is God honest true. But so like. It has this primary national security significance. So he's not going to mess with that because they brought him in to protect any of that's what he's going to do. And, you know, more than that, it's a reflection of, the state of Kentucky. It's a reflection of their culture and how well they can be trusted with, the United States and its, you know, assets that it takes so seriously. And I was like, wow. And so he's like, yeah, so I carry around my gun and I defend this and I'm a soldier and this is my duty and this is what I'm always going to do. And it's really so, inspiring to see these gold and state warriors.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Jesus.
Get buckets!
That was pun. This has been Storytime with Adam Jacoby. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Adam? Adam.
Hey, what's up? Yeah.
You're spam.
Follow Adam Jacoby on Twitter at @Adam_Jacoby. And follow Snotty Drippin, SnottyDrippin, in case you guys don't know how to spell, on Twitter as well. Thanks so much, guys, for wasting my time.
Everybody block Adam.
No!
What's up, y'all? This is Sharif, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Somewhat Fundamental podcast.
Bring that beat back. Thanks to Snotty Drippin again for coming on the show. And as usual, thanks to Adam Jacoby for his riveting storyline, which has become quite a hit on the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. Like a hit to my head. And as you know, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rayray.net, and you can find the show on Stitcher as well. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Ray Ray is Fun, and you can definitely follow me on my personal account, The No Look Pass. Everyone, thanks for listening. Galapal Squad, thank you for taking care of me. Portland, I love you. Southern California, I love you too. Special shout out to my girl Christina Dunn. Happy birthday to you, Chica. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Do well, Daddy.
I know. Hold on one second, okay?
Be quiet.
Game over, yeah!
Molded.